like, where's the music? Anyhow, let's start with announcements this morning. Welcome to worship. If you haven't noticed, it's sprinkling out already, a little drizzle. This is perfect. Get the ground moistened up for that heavier rain later. The Lord is gracious to give us sun and rain. I mean, we spent a long time praying for rain this early summer, and so we're going to thank the Lord for it now that it's here. Well, just a few announcements, and I got lots of papers to look at. We did get a couple of thank you cards in the mail recently. One is from Rosie Reed, just saying thank you for ministering to her family at the passing of John and preparing a meal. So that'll be posted on the board as Rosie sends her thanks. And also the River House, the Missions Committee, is supporting some work at the River House this summer as they have an open art show. And so the River House sent a thank you for that as well. So we'll post those on the board if you want to read those. Bible study tomorrow at 10 a.m. Love to see you for that. Prayer meeting this Thursday at LaRue's house in Winchester. So that means we're going to start at 4 down there. And just bring your sheet from last week's bulletin. We'll be praying through some of those things. Congregational meeting on July 23rd to vote for new members. It's going to be Lori and Grace and Heidi and Mike Waterworth. So we'll be voting on those after service as they give their testimonies. And then we'll have our next council meeting on the 30th. So you'll see some of that in there. Mark your calendars for the annual church picnic, Sunday School picnic, August 13th. That'll be at the La Follette Homestead. We always start at 11:15. That way, if you show up at church, you'll see the sign that the picnic's over there, and it gives you time to run over there. We'll start 15 minutes later than normal. A couple addresses. Betty Larrick is doing well, actually improving, getting stronger, but she is in rehab right now down at Evergreen, so her address is there if you want to send her a card. Geraldine Loy is up in Shepherdstown at Canterbury Center if you'd like to send her a card. They haven't really evaluated her yet. That should happen this week. Again, Geraldine fell and broke her hip, so she's recovering from that. So just be praying for her. Again, we would love to see both of these ladies back home. So pray that the Lord would be gracious. Let me see if I have anything. I think that's all that. The rest of the stuff is mainly prayer list requests. So Greg Kenny has been getting those infusions, but they haven't really worked yet. He hasn't really seen any improvement. He's having another one this month, but pray for Greg, especially just be praying that he would not feel as frustrated or as depressed, as the Lord is slow to be healing him. Gene has shoulder surgery later this month. I'll try to get a date for that next week, but so be praying for them again, as she's been taking care of Greg, and he's been a little off balance. I'm sure after her shoulder surgery, that's not going to be easy either. So be praying for them. All right, let's see other prayer things. Linda Hill's husband has been in a nursing home for a while. He's now under hospice care. So be praying for Linda as she begins the process of just realizing that her husband is probably not going to live the rest of the week. And so just be lifting up Linda and her husband as they face the end here. And again, he's under hospice care. Jennings Ump was diagnosed. This is one of Jones' neighbors was diagnosed with some pretty aggressive stomach cancer just this past week. And so it's not looking very good either, but just be praying for them as they start to now navigate the idea of chemo and some different things there. Al is mending. We heard he had pneumonia, but Al's mending, so that's a huge praise. Donald is slowly getting back to work and getting out, and so again, what a huge praise there, especially after that very serious surgery. I got a few more announcements, but is there any other prayer requests that need to be noted that didn't make the bulletin? Thank you. Okay, so good news for Gordon Moore, who was taken to rehab. So scheduled to come home the 15th. Again, just gaining some weight back and some strength. So continue to pray for Gordon. Thanks for the update. We appreciate that. All right, so some other updates off the prayer list, but I guess we could say this is two things. Heidi's on a missions trip right now down in Fairmont. I should say out in Fairmont, south of Morgantown. So they're serving a community out there. They're actually replacing a roof of someone's house that's in need this week. So be praying for their youth group. Again, just pray for safety and pray for an opportunity for them to minister the gospel in the midst of doing this work. The Ladies Fellowship is going to meet next Sunday after church, probably over in the Sunday School building as they talk about some upcoming things for the fall. So Ladies Fellowship meeting next week. Just a couple of words of thank you. The Ruritan sends thanks to anyone that helped for the July 4th. All reports are that they had probably one of the best July 4th they had, at least for people coming out. They sold out of just about everything, sold out of ice cream, sold out of food, and so they were very thankful for the help. The Ladies Fellowship wants to thank Donna for hosting. They had 16 ladies over there on Saturday, and they just had a wonderful time. The next Ladies Fellowship meeting is planned for October. Don't have a date yet, but we'll let you know soon. So plan on coming out sometime in October for that. There's three guys here. Actually, Mike's not here. Well, there was a few men that took down the big sign on 259. So if you see it missing, we know where it is. But, you know, you can tell. If you don't know who those three men are, just look for the ones with all the ant bites. So there was they had a little war with a little ant's nest while they were out there. So just tell them thank you for doing that. We appreciate you taking a hit for the team, guys. All right, let me see. The only other thing is that the school board, so Eucharia School is trying to buy one of the Frederick County schools. They have a meeting this Wednesday to find out kind of what the supervisor's plan is, whether they're going to sell it to him or not. So be praying Wednesday. Pray especially for Lori. She may have an opportunity. Oh, so they may have an opportunity for Lori and Grace to speak at the supervisor's meeting. But just pray that the Lord would bring about his will. If it's his will, then let's get the building. If there's something going on where it's not his will, then let's close the door. So it'd be better for us to know sooner, or better for them to know sooner or later. All right, any other announcements? Busy church life this summer. All right, well, let's take a moment as Ruby plays for us. Let's take a moment to just quiet our hearts before the Lord as we prepare to worship. All right, so I know what that noise is. It's someone's hearing aids, I'm sure. So, can anybody else hear? Can anybody hear where it's coming from, though? Can we narrow it down? No, I think it sounds like someone's hearing aids, but. Yeah, it's a very high-pitched sound. So it's, there we go. Okay, all right. Well, if it's not bothering you, I won't let it bother me. Actually, I don't hear it anymore. All right, good. All right, well, let's stand together as the Lord calls us to worship this morning. Let's call ourselves to worship using Psalm number 50. Beginning at verse 14, we read, "Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High, and call upon Him in the day of trouble. He will deliver you, and you shall glorify Him." Let's pray. Father God, as we come into your presence, we do ask you to be glorified in us and through us and around us. Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we pray that our worship would be acceptable to you as we worship with the saints on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, take your hymnal and turn to number 66 as we sing "At the Cross." Our salvation was paid for at the cross. Number 66.
Thank you.
be seated. I'm going to ask Tom Jenkins to come up and grab the mic, Tom, and read our passage for us from John chapter 5. We'll be reading the first 17 verses as we begin to look at this healing at the pool on the Sabbath.
John chapter 5, 1 through 17. After there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which was five roofed colonnades, and these laid a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going another step down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "Is it the Sabbath, and is it not lawful for you to take up your bed?" But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn as there was a crowd in place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working."
A couple things I want to point out in that passage. You know, it's a great question, isn't it? What do you want? Do you want to be healed? It's a great question for us this morning, too. What do we want? Do we want to be healed? Do we want spiritual revival? Do we want the Lord to invade our lives like he invaded this man's life? 38 years old, an invalid his whole life. His life was forever changed when he met the Messiah. Do we ask for that same thing? The reason I ask that is because Jesus says at the end, "My Father's always working," right? Always doing that. He did that here. He's going to see that he's doing or bringing revival in the days of Nehemiah. We know that he would bring it now as well. The question is, do we want it? Do we want revival? Anyhow, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'd ask you to grab your pink insert. We're going to recite a prayer of confession together. It's a great opportunity to corporately remind the Lord that we are sinners and that only he is righteous and that we need him. So let's pray this together. God of peace and hope, we confess to holding tightly to things we cannot control. We let worry consume us and dictate our actions, and we tell ourselves the lie that you are not enough. Forgive us for our failure to rest in your provision. You always give us exactly what we need, when we need it, and with a measure of grace we don't deserve. May we put our trust in you alone. Amen. You hear the Lord's assurance of pardon from Psalm 103, where we read, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Thanks be to God. Well, take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 59. Again, this forgiveness, this salvation, this release from our iniquities does not come freely, but at a cost. Not a cost paid by us, but a cost paid in full by the blood of Christ. Number 59, Jesus paid it all.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it.
Jesus has paid your penalty completely, made you white as snow. You know, snow, a fresh fallen blanket of snow with not a spot or stain in it. It's beautiful in its sight. And that's the way you are in the presence of the Lord even now, covered by the blood of Christ. How do we respond to that? Well, we respond to that by giving some of all that we are. No, we give the Lord all of all that we are, right? We give it to him. Now, that doesn't mean we have to give all of our money to him, but we do freely give him a portion of that money to him because it's part of all that we are. And so I would ask you to be considering your response to the Lord's paying the price as the ushers come forward to accept our morning offering.
Thank you.
Let's stand and sing the doxology together.
Praise God.
Lord, we do lift up your name above all the heavenly hosts and honor you as the Lord God Almighty, high and lifted up with the train of your robe, filling the temple at the sound of your voice, the doorposts tremble. And so, Lord, we would ask that you, in your power and might, would use this offering to glorify yourself here and abroad. And we ask that we would have eyes to see it and mouths that would rejoice when we see it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
What a great reminder. If you feel unworthy, that's okay. Many of us do, but it's God's mercy that brings us into the very throne room of heaven. The wall of hostility has been torn in two, right? That curtain torn in two and taken away so that we can come into his presence boldly. Well, I'd ask you to grab your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 10. Nehemiah chapter 10. If you're going to grab your pew Bible in front of you, that's page 477. If you're in your own Bible, again, just find Psalm, start working to the left. You'll work through Job and Esther. You'll end up in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 10. Go ahead and go to verse 28. We're not going to read the first couple of verses, but we're going to look at them maybe, but we won't read them. Well, last year, did you know, over 1 million foreigners became naturalized citizens. Over 1 million foreigners became naturalized citizens here in the U.S. These aren't illegals. We're not talking about them. These are individuals who have followed the rules. They've cut through all the red tape. They filled out all the proper paperwork. They had their interviews. They passed their citizenship test. I might add, a test that many Americans themselves couldn't pass. There's one last thing they had to do. They have to go to the citizenship ceremony. That's where they take their oath to uphold the Constitution and to even fight for America if legally, lawfully called to. They pledge themselves, right, to the new nation. And when you read accounts of these individuals after their ceremony, one thing stands out. It doesn't matter whether they're here for 5 years or 15 years before they become a naturalized citizen. When they finish taking their oath, when they hear the words, "You're now officially a United States citizen," they all say they felt changed. They actually feel changed. You know, in Nehemiah chapter 9 and 10, we see a change in Israel. Right? A change that James Murphy said last week was the result of a true revival. Right? The people hear the word of God, they repented of their sins, and experienced real change, a lasting change. And this morning in chapter 10, we're going to see that this change, we're going to see how it looks. What did it actually do to them in their everyday life as they pledge obedience to God's law here in chapter 10? Right? They pledge obedience to God's law. Now, before we look at our text, let's ask the Lord to prepare us to respond to this by allowing the Lord to change us as well. Let's pray. Lord, it is amazing to see the extent of the change that revival brought in Israel. And we would ask for the same thing to happen to us, your church, not just here at Timber Ridge, but your church in the world. Lord, we need revival. We need change. And we need that change to be a lasting change. And so we would ask that through the work of your Spirit, you would encourage us to see just what that change would look like. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're kind of picking up in 9:38. That's kind of where James left off last week, where we read, right, that Israel was making a firm covenant, right? Something for formal obligation between them and the Lord, a binding agreement. They're going to actually put it in writing. They're going to seal it as a sign of their commitment to the Lord. And what is this commitment they're making? Well, it's a binding covenant of their willingness, right, to serve the Lord, to wholly be committed to Him. And of course, as James said last week, they're doing this because it was a true revival going through Israel. Well, here's what I want us to see this morning. Because Israel has experienced true revival, they promise to walk in God's law by doing two things: by seeking purity and by giving fully. By seeking purity in their personal lives and by giving fully as a nation to the Lord. All right, so verse 38 just tells us that they're going to sign this document where the names of Nehemiah are there, right? He's the governor. There's names from the priests, the Levites, their brothers, the chiefs of the people. And now that's followed by a long list of names. We can skip over that this morning. You can read it later on for yourself, right? We know who they represent, right? And so let's just start at verse 28. So I'm just going to read 28 through 31 to start. It says, "The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the people of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord and His rules and His statutes. We will not give our daughters to the peoples of the land or take their daughters for our sons. And if the people of the land bring in goods or any grain on the Sabbath day to sell, we will not buy from them on the Sabbath or on a holy day. And we will forgo the crops of the seventh year and the exaction of every debt." Do you find it interesting that they promise to do all that the Lord commands? They promise to do all of that, all of His rules and statutes. And as an example of what that means to them, they talk about marriage. You see that? They talk about marriage. They talk about not giving their sons to the pagan daughters in the land around them. They talk about not taking those pagan daughters as wives for their own sons. They talk about worship. They talk about the Sabbath, keeping it holy, remembering the sabbatical year. That's where every 7 years people were released from their debts. These are signs that would mark them out from the nations around them. The way they treat marriage was the idea that their families will be set apart. They'll be different. The way they treat worship means their religious community will be set apart and it will look different. And the way they treat others in their society, releasing them from debt every 7 years, means their society will be different. It will be set apart. Now, it's a great list, isn't it? A great list. Families, worship, the way we treat society, it'll all be different. Marry well, worship well, live well. That's what they signed up for. But listen, if you break this down into a do this list, right? Do this list, you miss the point. Of course, by the time Jesus comes on the scene, that's exactly what they've done, right? They've broken it down into this do this list, and they've missed the point. But here, right at the beginning of this revival, right, in the midst of this true spiritual revival, I think that's what James called it last week, right? The list of things to do is born not out of a sense of guilt or obligation, like they need to try harder, which is much of the Christian church today. Try harder, right? That's not what's going on here. It's born out of a great sense of gratitude for the revival that they're experiencing. This revival is making them excited about the Lord and about following His ways and about their nation and their chance for the future, right? They want to follow Him. It's a response to grace. They're not working for the grace. They're responding to the grace. What is your response to grace this morning? What is your response to God's mercy this morning? What is your response to God spiritually reviving you and bringing you to Jesus? Does it make you long for purity? That's really what they're talking about here. They're longing for purity in their families, in their church, right, and in their nation. Does it make you long to be pure? Now, I'm willing to admit that longing for purity and experiencing purity are two different things. Right? There's one thing to call for the ideal, and there's another thing to live it out. So let's not get confused here. But even in the midst of that struggle, the Apostle Paul says, I sin, but I don't want to. We can say the same. We sin, but we don't want to. We want to have a desire to be pure. And each of us, you and me, we should long to be pure because of what God has done for us. Not so that He'll love us, but because He already does. What might be the benefit of striving for purity? Is there any benefit at all for striving for the ideal? Robert Murray McShane, a famous, Scottish preacher, wrote to a friend of his, Dan Edwards. And Dan had just been ordained as a missionary. And he's going to the mission field, and he writes this, "In great measure, Dan, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister, we might say a holy Christian, right, is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Do you long to be used mightily by God? Then seek to be pure. Not so that you'll be saved, but because God has already saved you. Strive for purity, not in your own strength, but in the Lord's. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask Him to help you, and then expect Him to help you. Right? Expect Him to give you strength for the battle to be pure, especially when it causes you to stand out in the world and be different. Israel has experienced true revival, and so they promise to walk in God's law by seeking purity. Are they going to be pure? No. Only Jesus is going to make them pure in the end. But they're seeking that. They have a desire for it, and so should we. They also give fully. Right? They seek to follow the Lord's commands by giving fully. Let's pick up our passage here at verse 32. It says, "We also take on ourselves the obligation to give yearly a third part of a shekel for the service of the house of our God, for the showbread, the regular grain offering, the regular burnt offering, the Sabbaths, the new moons, the appointed feasts, the holy things, and the sin offerings to make atonement for Israel, and for all the work of the house of our God. We, the priests, the Levites, the people, have likewise cast lots for the wood offering to bring it into the house of our God, according to our fathers' houses, at times appointed year by year, to burn on the altar of the Lord our God, as it is written in the law. We obligate ourselves to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruits of all fruit of every tree year by year to the house of the Lord. Also to bring to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God, the firstborn of our sons and of our cattle, as it is written in the law, and the firstborn of our herds and of our flocks, and to bring the first of our dough and our contributions, the fruit of every tree, the wine and the oil, to the priests, to the chambers of the house of our God, and to bring to the Levites the tithes from our ground, for it is the Levites who collect the tithes in all our towns where we labor. And the priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive the tithes, and the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes to the house of our God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the people of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of grain, wine, and oil to the chambers, where the vessels of the sanctuary are, as well as the priests who minister, and the gatekeepers and the singers. We will not neglect the house of our God." Do you see how complete that list is of giving? Do you see how complete that list is of giving? They will give of their money. They will give of their livestock. They will give of their crops, of all the resources available to them, even down to their dough. and their firstborn sons, by the way. They promised to tithe the proper amount of everything to the Lord. They are ready to give all that they are to the Lord. What was the purpose of doing all that? Well, they wanted to obey the word of the Lord. Here specifically, they wanted to obey the Lord by supporting the temple. By supporting the temple. They'd already pledged for their purity, but now they're pledging to support worship in a fuller way than they were in the beginning. Remember, the Levites didn't get a portion of the land. The Levites didn't get a portion of the land. No, they were supported through tithes and offerings from the other clans. This shows us just how fully they are, fully committed to desiring that ideal. Right? To desiring that ideal. In this state of spiritual revival, Israel has realized just how good God has been to them. They've realized just how good God has been to them and just how good His Word is for them. Just how good His Word is for them. Do you see God's Word as good for you? When you read the Lord's command to serve Him, do you realize that's because it's good for you to serve Him? When you read God's command to give of your resources for the work of the Lord, do you know that's good for you? The Lord doesn't need your gift. He is completely satisfied in Himself, but He calls you to bring a gift to be used for His service, giving you the opportunity, right, to be part of His kingdom and the work in the world. How do you feel about supporting worship? Right? Is it a chore, an obligation, or a joy? Do you realize that even though worship is about the Lord, you are the one who gains the most from it? You are the one who gains the most from worshiping the Lord. Again, the Lord is completely satisfied in Himself. Does He love your worship? Yes. Does He accept your worship? Yes. But you are the one who gains in worship. You benefit from worship. And when spiritual revival comes, enjoying worship will be a telltale sign. James last week said repenting of your sin would be a telltale sign of true worship. Enjoying worship, having a joy about worship, is another telltale sign of true revival. How might you grow and thrive as you commit yourself, commit all that you are in the Lord to Him? How might you grow? God wants you to grow, you know. In this passage of revival, right, it caused Israel to grow in their understanding of the Lord and in their response to Him. Are you ready to grow in that same way as well? They pledged purity. They pledged to support worship. And revival changed them. It was very interesting because I really feel like in the end, what did it do? It reordered their priorities. Right? It reordered their priorities. And talking about tithing and giving and of times and talents this week, I was reading from James Boyce, and he is not a believer that we are required to give a tenth anymore. We're not subject to that sense of tithe. I'll have to do some more research. I'm not sure I agree with him, but I do agree with this. He said, what we should be thinking maybe is how much should I keep, not how much should I give. How much do I need to keep? And maybe I'm keeping too much. And I thought, well, I kind of like that idea. You know, how much do you need? Could you give more away? Well, I like that idea there. Anyhow, so we'll have to talk more about that when we come up on another passage about tithing. But as we look at the table this morning, I want us to realize that the Lord sent us Jesus to revive us, take our dead hearts and turn them to flesh, to revive us and make us whole again, to bring true revival. There's nothing wrong with pledging our obedience to the Lord as the ideal, even in the midst of a sinful world where we fail. Will we be obedient perfectly? No, not till we get to heaven. But that's why Christ came, isn't it? Because we won't be perfect until we're in heaven. Sin made it necessary for Christ to come. Sin made it necessary for Jesus to die for us, that we would be made righteous and holy before the Lord. And now that that penalty is paid, that's how God sees us. He's freed us from that bondage of sin so that we can pledge our obedience and trust in the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us His power and His strength. I want you to think about that this morning as the deacons come to prepare the table for us. Take a few moments to re-pledge your obedience to the Lord. Not because He demands it, although He does, right? He does. But don't do it because He demands it. Do it because He loves you, right? And we see that in the table as He sent us Jesus Christ to prove just how much He loves us and to make it possible for us to pledge our obedience to Him. So I'd ask the deacons to come. Well, as we prepare to take part in the table together, I would encourage you to grab your pink insert and look at the Nicene Creed as we recite together what it is that we believe. Saying, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father, through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Here are the words of institution as given to us by the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you drink, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." Let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I'd offer you an invitation and a warning this morning. On Christ's behalf, I invite you to come to this table and receive the body and blood of Christ. If you are a believer, if your trust is in Christ and Christ alone, if you have united yourself to this church or some other church, then I would invite you to come. Come as one who has received the sign of the covenant and baptism. Come in the fellowship of God's church. Come and share in his fellowship, not ours, his fellowship, as we eat and drink together. Come with a heart that gives up your sins and as a person committed to living in love with all people. Come pledging your obedience to the Lord. Now, if you have not come to the place where you believe in Christ yet, then I would ask you to abstain from partaking in the table. There's a warning in Scripture that it is not good for you to come until you are sure that you belong to the Lord. But I would invite you not to come to the table, but to come to Christ, right? To come to Him Himself, give your life to Him, and then maybe next time you're here, you could partake of the table. To you who believe, though, come because Christ commands. Right? Not because you're worthy, right? You're not. Not because you're faithful. We know that we're not. Not because we're righteous. But come because the Lord Jesus calls you to come and accept his righteousness and to be nourished in your faith by his sacrifice. And so I would invite you to come and warn you, if you're not in Christ, to abstain. Let's pray. Lord, we would ask that these elements would be set apart from their normal use to this holy purpose, that you would fill them with the grace of Christ and nourish us. Lord, not that our stomachs would be filled, but that our spirits would be full of the knowledge of the cost of your sacrifice, full of the knowledge of the completeness of your sacrifice, full of the knowledge of the completeness of our acceptance before you because of Christ's sacrifice. And maybe go out with great joy, Lord, having nourished ourselves with these truths. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he did take bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, as I'm ministering in his name give to you. And he said, take, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This bread symbolizes the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, given for you freely for the forgiveness of your sins. Take, eat. On the same night, Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the blood of the new covenant. My blood poured out for the remissions of the sins of many. Take and drink this, all of you, that you would be made righteous in my blood. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cover all your sins, to make you worthy of His grace, and set you holy and righteous before the throne of God in the heavens itself, where one day we will be with God forever. Drink it, all of you. I charge you to make good use of this supper this week. Meditate upon what it means that Christ gave Himself, all of who He was, for you, and see if the Lord doesn't encourage you to give in return a portion of who you are, a portion of all of who you are as well. Amen. Let's stand together, grab your hymnal, and turn to hymn number 192. As we sing a joyful hymn, there is a fountain that we can go to that cleanses us from sin. 192.
Thank you.
Well, as we prepare to depart this place, I might recommend staying a few minutes to fellowship before you head out, just to see if the rain will lighten up. But as we go, hear the Lord's benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters, so that as you desire and pledge your obedience to Him, His power will go with you to accomplish all that is good in you and through you because of Him and Him alone. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.